In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups: the police, who investigate crime, and the Crown prosecutors, who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
Lord Darnley Hotel, Shepherd's Bush. A chubby blonde lady relaxes on a bed while a maid dusts.
Skirting boards need doing.
Yes, miss.
She checks her watch and the maid, actually a man in a blonde wig, stands up.
I paid for an hour. I want an hour.
All right, keep your wig on.
Housekeeping!
Out! Get out!
The maid leaves and giggles with a colleague in the hallway.
Silky stockings and hairy legs.
The men in this country, they're crazy. No class. My turn.
The other maid unlocks a door.
Housekeeping!
The first maid waits outside expectantly, but hears no reaction. She goes into the room to find her friend staring at an empty bed that's soaked with blood. Later, the police are there and take photos of the bed and other parts of the room. Ronnie walks over to Joy, the scene of crime officer, who wears a blue coverall.
So how much do you reckon?
On the bed, probably about 50 centilitres.
Which is?
Just under a pint in old money.
Right, so more than a nosebleed then?
Yeah. Blood loss at this volume is usually associated with laceration or ballistic trauma.
Okay then, Joy, I'll give up, love. What have you done with the body?
There isn't one. The victim either walked or was moved.
Really? Mm. Right, so no blood trail from the room to the corridor, no blood in the corridor, the lift or the fire escape.
How much longer is this going to take? I've got guests waiting to check into this room.
I'm sorry, you are?
I've already told everything to your mate here.
Ron, this is Mr. Blanchard, the owner. The occupant of the room checked in as a Mr. C.P. Hunt and he paid cash, but he left his credit card details as security.
Did he sign in?
Yeah, in the book.
I'm going to need a snap now.
Kinkily dressed women with police in the hallway.
Right, Mr. Blanchard, did you get a good look at Mr. Hutton?
19, maybe 20, white, decent clubber.
Was he with anyone?
Not that I saw, but then the front desk can get a bit lively.
Yeah, I bet. Joe, what about CCTV?
Joe pauses by one of the women.
Joe.
Oh, yeah, there's only one camera covering the entrance and the corridor. It's working, but I don't think there's going to be any usable footage. Someone stuck a piece of chewing gum over the lens, so...
Classy. Was that done last night, do you think?
Well, based on solidity, Ron, I'd say it was a historical event.
Right, thank you for your time.
This isn't going to go in the papers, is it? Because I could do without it going on TripAdvisor. Well, it's not as though there's a body or nothing.
Yet.
Bradley Walsh as Senior Detective Sergeant Ronnie Brooks. Law. Ben Bailey-Smith as younger Detective Sergeant Joe Hawkins. Patterson Joseph as Detective Inspector Wes Layton. Order. Dominic Rowan as Senior Crown Prosecutor Jacob Thorne. Georgia Taylor as Junior Crown Prosecutor Kate Barker. And Peter Davison as Director of the Crown Prosecution Service Henry Sharp. Law and Order UK. Original series created by Dick Wolfe. This story, Bad Romance, teleplay by Louise Ironside. Ronnie, Joe and Wes walk down a corridor in the station.
You check the hospitals? And the morgues? Bleeders in both, just none of the right blood type.
It was B rhesus positive, which narrows it down a bit.
OK, so basically what you got is a crime with no victim?
Oh, you should have seen that room, Wes. We've got a victim, all right. We just don't know who it is yet.
Yeah, but that means that until you get the results back from the lab, you're just twiddling your thumbs, aren't you?
Why, what you got for us?
OK, this is a memo from above, striving towards the paper-free office.
Shouldn't I send an email?
You can start by breaking up the paperwork party on your desks. From now on, anything that doesn't need to be printed doesn't get printed.
Printed that for you.
Thank you, Kayla. C.P. Hutton is Mr. Charles Peregrine Hutton of Holland Park, 50 years old, company director.
That's 30 years older than the guy that checked into the hotel.
Great, pass it on to the fraud boys now.
Hang on. The only bloke who knows what went on in that room is the person using that card. Sorry, Wes, this one is ours. Come on.
Sorry, Gov.
Ronnie and Joe are at Hutton and Fellows, Belgravia.
To be honest, I hadn't even noticed the thing was missing.
Hutton opens his wallet.
The thief hasn't run up a huge bill, has he?
We're more concerned that the young man using your card is connected with a serious crime.
Oh, I see.
So, when did you last use your card?
No idea. Don't often use that one. Probably a couple of months ago.
And just to rule you out, where were you last night?
Dinner at my club with clients, Russians. You know, actually, if we could move this along a bit. I'm still sweating vodka.
We're going to need the address for your club.
It's just off the King's Road. I have a card somewhere.
Something with your signature on it as well, please, sir.
You're in the gardening game.
We create bespoke exterior environments. Same thing, different price tag. My wife's the brains behind it, I'm just in front of hers.
Business good, is it?
Up and down. If it wasn't for my mother's address book, we'd be absolute paupers. Here's the card. Contact details are on it, and my signature.
Joe checks the signature against the one in the hotel book.
Chalk and cheese. Your wife wouldn't have used that card without you knowing.
No, no. She's captain of her own ship as far as money's concerned. There's no need for her to know about this, is there? Only she already thinks I'm the most tremendous fool when it comes to looking after money.
I think we'll let you break that bad news, sir.
Ronnie and Joe smile at Hutton, who wears a tweed three-piece suit. The station.
So we can't confirm Hutton's alibi. Sent some guys to his club. Dorman refused them entry.
Yeah, of course he did. I'll chase it up.
Hey, Fit. How are you getting on with that stuff from the credit card company?
Give me a minute. I've only got one pair of eyes.
Don't worry, Kayla. Take your time, love. We've got all day.
So the card starts off with the usual boring stuff. Waitrose, John Lewis. Then it changes.
Well, when the card was stolen?
Cinema tickets, bar bill from a couple of clubs, a purchase from a musical instrument store.
What?
Scales Music Store, Notting Hill. Songs from the shows.
Well, at least he's got a bit of taste. So what's that? CD or sheet music?
What kind of credit card thief is this guy?
Kinky one. 120 quid in some place called Slinky Secrets.
It cost £120.
Got one somewhere.
In an adult shop, the owner sorts through clothing on a hook.
Hold them.
She hands kinky underwear and furry handcuffs to Ronnie, then gives him a fairly plain corset.
Here. Not what you were expecting.
Well, actually, it's not really our area of expertise, but...
Well, it's not all 50 shades. That is one of our more functional designs.
Well, we think this is the guy that bought it. Are you ringing the bells?
No. But he wouldn't, would he?
Why? Because blokes don't come in it?
No, because it was an internet order. Card unseen. So, once again, I take the whack.
Yeah, but if it's an online order, you must have a delivery address, yeah?
The bobbed-haired owner, who wears a leopard print top, looks sulky and slaps an order book down on the counter. She flicks through the pages, then slides it over to Ronnie.
Holland Park. And if you see any of my merchandise round there, get it back.
Hutton House.
Why would the thief have something delivered here?
Well, maybe you said the card was stolen to cover the fact that you were making purchases you'd rather no one knew about.
Like ladies' underwear? Or trips to the Lord Darnley Hotel?
That's absurd.
Ronnie unfolds an e-fit picture of a young man.
Recognise him?
This was the lad who was using your card at the hotel. Maybe you met him there.
Why would I do that?
Well, we're not here to judge, sir. Every marriage has its secrets.
Oh, good grief, no. I have a wife who's a woman. And anyway, I told you I was having dinner that night at my club.
Well, we haven't been able to substantiate that. And your doorman was less than welcoming.
I'll call them, tell them to cooperate. Now, you've got to understand, I did not use that card to check into that hotel.
A woman and teenage girl.
Take the bags to the kitchen.
The girl, wearing a school uniform, leaves with the bags.
These are police, darling. They're nothing to worry about. Just, missing credit card.
Ugh, Charles, you're hopeless.
Sorry.
Mrs. Hutton, you haven't used your husband's credit card in the last couple of weeks, have you? To buy some underwear, maybe?
No, of course not.
And was that your daughter?
Yes.
Perhaps we could talk to her?
The girl, Georgia.
I don't understand. Why would I use my father's credit card?
If Georgia wants something, she only has to ask. Charles is incapable of saying no to her.
Fathers and daughters, eh?
Hmm.
Georgia, this is a photograph of the young man using your dad's bank card. You recognize him?
No.
You sure? All right. You see, we also think he's involved in a very serious crime, possibly even a murder. So if you do know him...
Honestly, I would really like to help you, but I can't.
Yeah, I think we're done here.
Ronnie smiles at Georgia.
Of course. Thank you for your time. However, I will need a list of anyone who works at the house, and of course, a list of any school friends.
Georgia doesn't have guests. She's doing 6 A-levels.
Wow. It's impressive. What school did you go to?
St. Sebastian's Upper.
Nice.
Oh, you know people there?
No.
St. Sebastian's Upper School, Richmond, with one of the masters.
Georgia's father was an old boy here.
Thank you.
He was a lovely chap, but never stuck at anything. Suppose he didn't have to. All that family money.
Hmm. And what about Mrs. Hutton?
I'm afraid I can't help you there. Nobody's quite sure where she's paying from. Chalet girl or air hostess. One or the other. It's just like Charlie to marry below stairs. Always was a hopeless romantic.
And Georgie Hutton, she does all right here, does she?
Well, more than all right. She's off to Oxford. Brains to burn. Must take after her mother.
Mm. West Side Story, one of my favourites. Did Georgia try out for that?
Actually, she did. Not her finest hour, but it won't stop her expecting a leading role. Young people today have such pathological self-belief. Gentlemen, I'm really terribly sorry. I have a lesson to take.
Just one thing before you go, Mr. Rindle.
The Ethit.
Is he one of yours?
Goodness.
In the gymnasium, students dressed in white and wearing wire mesh face protectors are fencing. Ronnie and Joe watch from the sidelines.
Don't look like any PE lesson I ever had.
The students take off their protective masks and shake hands with each other. A boy talks with the instructor. He looks like the EFIT, which Ronnie shows to Joe.
All right, Trotsky, you just park the revolution here while I go and have a word with our mystery hotel guest.
MIU Central Headquarters. In an interview room, Joe leans against the wall while Ronnie shows the EFIT to the young man, Rufus, who sits beside his solicitor.
I wasn't at any hotel.
If you're going to charge my client, please do so. Otherwise, this constitutes the harassment of an innocent schoolboy.
What kind of innocent schoolboy has a family solicitor on speed dial? Thanks to Mr. Hutton, it seems.
Someone lost a lot of blood in that hotel room, Rufus. Who was it?
I told you I wasn't there.
If you weren't there, you must have been somewhere else. So where were you?
My client has no comment.
The bald-headed solicitor looks down calmly. Ronnie takes off his tortoiseshell-rimmed glasses, and the solicitor looks surprised. Joe checks his watch, and Ronnie, his arms folded, stares at the solicitor and Rufus. Ronnie takes a tenner out of his trouser pocket.
Hey, Joe, do us a favour. Would you nip to the patisserie for me, please? Because if we're in for the long duration here, I could murder my good friends, you can.
I was at a party.
The solicitor looks round at Rufus. Ronnie raises his hands with a smile, then takes his tenner back off Joe. Outside St. Sebastian's, Joe and Ronnie are with Poppy, a blonde student.
It was my 18th.
Happy birthday.
Thanks. So what's this about?
Rufus Barton. What time did he get to your party?
7-ish. Georgia was supposed to be helping me get ready, but of course she brought Rufus, so that bit paid to that.
And how long has Georgia been seeing him?
About a year.
But her mum and dad don't know.
Of course not. Her mum's, like, super strict. Mine's not. I can pretty much do what I like.
And Rufus, what time did he leave your party?
I've no idea. I was utterly mashed.
Nonetheless, you must have noticed people coming and going.
Poppy, do you have any photos?
Loads. They're on my Facebook.
Okay, we're going to need to see those.
Sure. Friend me.
She smiles teasingly.
Maybe you'd like to email them to us.
Joe looks away, grinning.
Do you think maybe Rufus could have left the party early and gone and seen another girl?
No way. He was, like, surgically attached to Georgia.
Sounds like you might be a little jealous.
Don't get me wrong. Georgia's great. But she's not perfect.
How do you mean?
Of a starter, she's got fat and basically disappeared.
So, Georgia Hutton put
puts on a bit of lumber, then all of a sudden, a corset is delivered to her home address. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I get that teenage girls are funny about that stuff, but did she really look that overweight to you?
Maybe she shifted a few pounds in that hotel room.
Forensics lab, Gower Street. Lily, the forensic pathologist, looks at a lab report.
Okay, I fast-tracked that test, and you were right, Ron. There's amniotic fluid in the mattress, so someone's given birth in that room.
No, that's the source of the blood, then.
Ugh, remind me never to have kids.
It's okay. I've had two. Never felt a thing. Lily, thanks very much. Question is, where's the baby?
She is not the kind of girl to get herself pregnant.
Yeah? What kind of girl is that?
The stupid kind. Georgia doesn't even have a boyfriend. She doesn't have time.
You know, Georgia, if you want to continue this in private, we can.
We don't have any secrets. Do we?
Georgia?
It's fine.
Georgia, we know that you are close to Rufus Barton.
Who's that?
And that Rufus booked a hotel room at the Lord Darnley using your dad's bank card, and that someone gave birth in that room. Someone with a very rare blood type.
Georgia stares away.
It's a B rhesus positive.
Georgia's mother, Camille, looks sadly at Georgia. MIU headquarters. Ronnie and Joe are with Georgia and her solicitor.
We don't really get much time together, though, with Rufus being a boarder and my mother being so uptight. So we decided to leave the party and go to a hotel.
Right, and just tell us what happened once you got to the Lord Darnley.
It was horrible. The room was so dirty, and we knew it'd be weeks before we could arrange anything else, so we decided to stay.
And then what happened?
Then we just started having sex. And then all this stuff started coming out of me. And I started getting these horrible cramps that would just... And then I started bleeding. And I knew I was having a miscarriage.
She looks down and Ronnie nods his head patiently.
It's okay. Take your time.
There's not really anything else to say. I'm sorry I didn't tell you this before. I just couldn't with my mother, though.
No. You say that you knew straight away from the bleeding that you were having a miscarriage.
Yes.
Even though you didn't know you were pregnant.
What else could it have been? I'm sorry, it's just so horrible remembering it all.
Georgia, how far along do you think you might have been?
2 or 3 months at most.
I'm sorry about this, but I do need to ask, what did you do with the fetus?
Wes is watching a video feed of the interview.
We flushed it down the loo.
And you had no idea that you were pregnant, Georgia? No morning sickness, nausea, anything like that?
Thank you, D.S. Brooks. I'll take this from you. I'm Detective Inspector Layton. Oh, I think we have everything we need for now. So if anything else comes up, we'll be in touch.
Thank you.
All right.
Ronnie smiles at Georgia as she leaves with her solicitor. Wes closes the door behind them.
Wes, we weren't done then.
Yes, you were. She had a miscarriage. It happens more often than you think.
Gov.
Write up your notes. Put them on my desk. The case is closed.
In the office, Ronnie's looking at photos from the party, showing Georgia and Rufus grinning together and kissing.
Okay, stuff you're still working on, you file in your desk box, yeah? Stuff you refer to regularly, you file in your desk drawer. The stuff you hardly ever use. Ron, am I wasting my time here? Ron?
Hey? No, Joe, listen to this. Georgia Hutton buys a corset to conceal the fact that she's fat, right?
Right.
No. She just tells us she thought she was only a couple of months along. Now, if she's a couple of months along, she wouldn't be showing that much anyway, would she?
Okay.
Right. Another form.
Where are you going?
I'm going down to the lab to see Lily, see if she's finished them tests.
No, Ron, you can't. I just know crime the report.
Well, file them in your desk box. You're not done with them yet.
Hammersmith, W6. Ronnie walks with Wes.
It wasn't an early miscarriage. There was too much blood, not enough amniotic fluid on that mattress for the pregnancy to be in the first trimester.
So?
Well, the best guess is the fetus was probably around 7 months along.
Why would Georgia Hutton lie to us that?
So that we wouldn't go looking for a body?
Oh, don't get ahead of yourself, Ron.
All right, look, Wes, I reckon we should go and have a proper look at the area covered by those kids that night. I really do. You know what it's like in these cases? Usually the baby's dumped very near the scene. So why don't we go and have a look at all the phone boxes, all the doorways,
yes,
the drains,
yeah,
and the bins.
All right.
And I'll tell you something else, Gov, as well. We could do with getting into that school and the Hutton house.
No way. You haven't got enough for a warrant.
What about if we were looking for stolen goods?
Hutton house. Camille walks to the bottom of the stairs as Joe comes down holding an evidence bag.
There is a man going through our rubbish.
Yeah, sorry about that. Hey, I have a corset. What you got?
Well, we found that at the bottom of a bin.
At George's?
A blood-stained nightshirt. Camille looks at it sadly. In the forensics lab, Ronnie and Joe are with Lily.
Well, we found something interesting on Georgia Hutton's nightdress.
Go on in, Lil.
Meconium.
What's that?
Baby feces.
Oh, so you're saying the baby was in distress before it was born?
Meconium in the amniotic fluid can be a sign of fetal distress, but the meconium on this nightdress is quite separate from the amniotic fluid.
So the baby excreted it after the birth?
Exactly.
Ah.
Which means what?
The amniotic fluid from the mattress shows the baby was old enough to be viable, and the meconium from this nightdress shows it was born alive.
We checked all over, and uniforms have even dropped in at all the local churches. No baby's been handed in anywhere.
Plus, we went back, had a chat with the witnesses from the hotel that night. No one heard a baby crying.
Okay, what are you thinking?
Infanticide.
Even without a body?
Wes, we're good to go. We can keep looking, but I'm telling you now, Georgia Hutton didn't give birth to fresh air.
St. Sebastian's Upper School. Pupils wearing their uniforms of maroon blazer and tie and grey jumpers come out of a room marked Silence. Among them are Rufus and Georgia. They stop and look uneasy when they see Ronnie and Joe waiting for them in the foyer. The schoolmaster comes out of the room as Ronnie and Joe walk over to Georgia and Rufus.
Georgia Hutton, I'm arresting you on suspicion of infanticide.
Suspicion of assisting an offender.
We didn't do anything!
You do not have to say anything.
As they're led away by Ronnie and Joe, Georgia and Rufus hold hands.
Do you understand why you're here?
Because I've been charged with killing a baby.
Your baby? As the psychiatrist appointed by the court, I have to establish whether the balance of your mind was disturbed at the time your baby died.
I can't believe this is happening to me.
When you went into labor, did you understand what was happening?
No. Not properly. I mean, not until it came out. I mean, a baby that size should have been dead, shouldn't it?
How did you feel when you saw it was alive?
I don't really remember. It was like the whole thing was happening to someone else. Does that make me crazy?
Kate, Jacob and Henry have been watching.
I don't buy it. How do you not know you're 7 months pregnant?
Our psychiatrist says she fits the profile for pervasive pregnancy denial.
Woman isn't consciously aware she's pregnant. Any symptoms she attributes to other causes.
What, too many pies and a spot of indigestion?
I've known cases where the denial continues through to childbirth. Woman fails to recognise the child as a real baby.
So kills it or abandons it?
The syndrome is strongly associated with infanticide.
There's no premeditation.
Which is why she's not being charged with murder. You can't plan to kill a baby you don't know you're having.
Crown versus Hutton and Barton pre-trial hearing. Kate, Jacob and another barrister.
This application to dismiss is time-wasting. There's more than enough evidence to proceed. I'm astonished that you and Rippon have lowered yourself.
Rippon's off the job. Georgia Hutton is to be represented by a friend of the family.
Oh, no.
A tall, dark-haired barrister sees Jacob and walks over.
Jacob? Jacob Thorne. Long time no see.
Kate Barker.
Maitland, Cosby.
Awful business, awful business. Huttons are such nice people. Still, I'm sure we can get this cleared up nice and quickly. Karen, word in your shell, like? I'll see you on the pitch. We should have a drink, Jakey. We should catch up.
Okay, who is he and is he single?
In court, Georgia and Rufus sit in the dock and Cosby addresses the judge.
And in addition to the want of evidence, the body of the child has never been found.
The search is ongoing, my lady.
A body is not a requirement, Mr. Cosby. There's sufficient evidence to proceed. The application to dismiss charges is refused.
Jacob had been standing, but sits down beside Kate.
Well, that was a waste of makeup.
We'll get used to it. Cosby's only just getting started.
Later in the foyer.
All right there, Jakey.
Please don't call me that.
Remind me, what case was it we last met on?
Hannigan and Shepherd.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you was robbed.
Yes, I was. Do you really think
that
I would...
Playing nicely, boys.
All right, how are we going to do this then?
You first.
Georgia didn't know she was pregnant. The baby was stillborn.
You're taking the position that a dead baby excreted meconium?
No, I'm taking the position there was no meconium.
In court.
The item seized by the police fell outside the scope of the warrant, which was originally obtained to recover stolen goods.
The item in question is a blood-stained nightshirt that proves Georgia Hutton's baby was born alive. How were the police supposed to ignore something like that?
The evidence is admitted.
Kate sits down. Holding a file, Cosby heads out but pauses by Kate and Jacob.
Judge is a bit partisan. You've given her one.
South Bank, SE1. Kate, Ronnie and Joe walk by the Thames.
Now, we've looked in the school, the hotel, Georgia's house, all the areas in between. You know, dustbins, drains, even in the gardens that Mum and Dad were working on at the time.
Well, you must be missing something or you'd have found it by now.
Kate, you want to have a shot? Go ahead. It's a big city out there.
No, I'm sorry, it's just that a body would be really helpful.
Kate, we haven't given up yet and we'll keep you posted.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
What does she want from us? We looked everywhere.
Look everywhere again.
In the office, Ronnie stares at a board with evidence photos pinned onto it.
Ron, take a look at this.
What?
I found some dodgy accounting in Hutton's business books, right? He had his knuckles wrapped for undeclared earnings.
Right. Well, maybe some of Mummy's chums didn't fancy paying the old VAT. Yeah. Why don't we have a look in Granny Hutton's dress book, see if we can't find him doing some jobs on the side around the time the baby was born.
Way ahead of you, Ron. Way ahead.
Joe has a diary. In court.
As soon as the guest checks out, the girls are in there doing the cleaning. Bish bosh, room's ready to go again in 20 minutes.
Very efficient. So if the defendants had left the hotel at 10:30 p.m, why was it another 12 hours before the cleaning staff entered the room?
Well, because that pair never checked out. I slipped off, taking the key with them. Left a do not disturb on the door. Well, they obviously didn't want anyone knowing what they were doing in there.
Thank you, Mr. Blanchard.
Jacob sits and Cosby stands.
Mr. Blanchard. What kind of establishment would you say your hotel is?
It's got a lot of potential. Yeah. I'm thinking of getting in some flock wallpaper, going all boutique.
Lofty ambitions for a hostelry that rents rooms by the hour to local prostitutes.
Is this going somewhere, Mr. Cosby?
Georgia Hutton is accused of killing her newborn child, but in the absence of a body, do we even know that the baby is dead? There is no usable CCTV footage of the night in question. Who's to say the child wasn't taken by any one of the ne'er-do-wells who roam the corridors of the Lord Darnley?
Kate questions Rufus.
Tell us about the night your baby was born.
We left Poppy's party and went to the hotel. To...
have sex?
Yes. But Georgia started getting these pains. She was in agony.
Why didn't you call an ambulance?
Georgia said I was making a fuss.
And at that point, you really had no idea that Georgia was pregnant?
No. Honestly.
What happened next?
It was all very fast. and messy. He was a boy. We talked about keeping him, but Georgia was so scared of what her mum would say. So we wrapped the baby in a bathrobe and put him on the bed.
And left him?
Yes.
Whose idea was the do not disturb sign?
No one's. We didn't do that.
He looks over at Georgia.
I didn't. The idea was that someone would find him quickly.
Georgia stares, blank-faced, at Rufus.
Rufus. Rufus, look at me, please. How about you stop defending your girlfriend and start defending your child? Where's your son?
Handsome young Rufus, his brown hair swept over in a neat side parting, looks over at Georgia.
Someone found him. And took him to look after. Lots of people want babies, don't they?
Wes leans on his desk, looking troubled, as Ronnie knocks and comes in.
Wes, Joe's been on the blower. He's found a body.
Okay, thanks.
A public park.
When I started working through old Mrs. Hutton's address book, I came across Marjorie Harrison. She is the chairperson of the residence committee here. Hutton and fellows, they installed these remembrance gardens around the time Georgia had the baby. The body was buried underneath.
How do we know it's him?
Well, he was wrapped in a bathrobe. We traced the laundry label, you know? It's from the Lord Darnley.
The forensics lab.
The child was about 10 weeks premature. It died from untreated respiratory distress syndrome. It would have been obvious it was in trouble from the moment it was born.
Okay, so, Lily, would the baby have made it had they got it to hospital?
Possibly. Or if he'd been born a few weeks later.
There's not much anyone could do about that, though.
There is. This baby was induced.
What?
Synthetic oxytocin. There was a vial found in the pocket of the dressing gown, plus the cap for a syringe.
So much for Georgia Hutton not knowing she was pregnant.
Yeah, her mind was not as disturbed as she was making out. Right, this is no longer infanticide.
Ronnie stands up with a grim look on his face. In court, a clerk hands a note to a man in a suit sitting behind Jacob. The man passes the note on to Jacob, who reads it, then takes a moment to consider before standing up.
My lady, in the light of new evidence, the Crown wishes to apply to alter the indictment against both defendants, from infanticide to murder.
Camille looks over at the dock where Georgia and Rufus look stunned.
Lady, I'd like to make an application under Section 78 to exclude the evidence found in the bathrobe. It's more prejudicial than probative.
What?
Miss Barker.
There's not so much as a fingerprint connecting either the vial or the syringe lid with Miss Hutton. We've already established that the Lord Darnley is not known for its standards of housekeeping. These items could easily have been left in the pocket by the previous guest.
The evidence proves the defendant not only knew about the pregnancy, but took steps to artificially induce the baby before it was full term, thereby endangering their child's life even before they dumped it in that hotel room.
Much as I dislike your tactics, Mr. Cosby, I agree, the evidence is problematic and might prejudice the jury to the degree where it outweighs its probative value. The evidence is not allowed.
In the foyer, Cosby's on his mobile and leans over to Jacob and Kate as they walk past.
Third time lucky.
Who does he think he is? No, he can't just parachute in from Poshville and change the rules.
He's playing them to his advantage, isn't that what defence lawyers do?
Look, I don't know about the boy, but Georgia Hutton is guilty of sin. We can't let it go away with it.
Well, at least we've got the body now. That made the jury squeamish.
Wait!
Come here, no.
My daughter is not a bad person.
Mrs. Hutton, please.
She's not a trust fund brat. She's got a big future. Please, don't ruin my daughter's life.
I'm sorry. Please, excuse my wife.
No! For once in your life, do something!
Hutton looks round and sees Joe and Ronnie walking towards him. Crown versus Hutton and Barton, day 5. Cosby stands up and addresses the judge.
The defense calls Georgia Hutton.
Georgia stands up, and a court security officer escorts her to the witness box. Rufus remains in the dock, watching. Georgia looks over at Rufus, who looks down uneasily. Cosby asks his first question.
Miss Hutton, why did you ask your father to return to the hotel?
As soon as we left the baby, I knew it was a huge mistake. I wanted to go back, but Rufus wouldn't let me. He was very worried about me. I wasn't feeling well.
So, when you got home, you asked your father to fetch the infant?
I didn't care what my mother thought. My baby was more important.
But when he got to the hotel, what did he find?
He said it...
Could you speak up, please?
He said the baby wasn't there anymore.
And when you got to the Lord Darnley, you got into the room, what did you find?
Blood. Place was a mess.
And the baby?
It was on the bed. It wasn't breathing.
Hutton's in the interview room.
So small. I thought of Shatton Square Gardens. Such a lovely spot. So I took the child there and buried it. I thought about Georgia, my wife, their plans. It seemed kinder to everyone to take care of things and pretend the baby had just gone.
Miss Hutton, just for our records, what time did you arrive at the hotel?
Oh, I got home about, just before 11. George and Rufus arrived shortly after. Got to the hotel room about 11:30.
Not according to the doorman at your club.
No, you see, once we persuaded him to talk to us, he told us that you were one of the last to leave the club that night. In fact, you and your party were kicked out at around about 1 o'clock in the morning.
Ronnie stands.
If you'll excuse me.
Ronnie goes, leaving Joe staring at pensive, fair-haired Hutton.
Interview terminated. 10:42.
Whatever gave evidence against the boy. Perhaps the charges against my daughter could be dropped.
I heard there are deals that can be done.
Joe looks faintly disgusted and walks out of the room. Hutton's solicitor has stepped away from the table and talks on his phone. In court, Cosby.
No further questions.
Cosby sits down and another note is handed to Jacob. Georgia is still in the witness box and looks over at her mother, sitting alone. Jacob stands up.
Miss Hutton, would you confirm something for me? What time did you get home and ask your father for help?
Around 11 p.m.
You're quite certain about that?
Yes.
Rufus's eyes flit around the courtroom nervously. In the office, Ronnie's staring at the party photos of Rufus and Georgia as Joe comes over.
I don't get it, Ron. Where were Georgia and Rufus between 11 and 2?
What if this picture was taken after the baby was born and not before?
So what, instead of going straight from the hotel to the Hutton's house to ask for help, they went back to the party? Waste a couple of hours?
They had no intention of anyone finding that baby alive.
Crown versus Hutton and Barton, trial day 6. Jacob stands and addresses the judge.
The Crown calls a rebuttal witness, Charles Hutton.
A clerk steps up to the bench and talks to the judge.
It appears Mr. Hutton has declined to give evidence.
Joe's with Hutton, who opens an envelope and takes out an official summons.
Sorry to be a bore, but I'm not going to go into the witness box. Imagine you need to arrest me.
Coming out of court.
If I was on that jury, I would think that Hutton was keeping quiet just to protect his daughter.
Or to protect himself.
We think he killed the kid.
No, this is all George Hutton.
How's that?
Look, Charles Hutton would do anything for his daughter, right? So if he thought that he could put the blame on himself or on Rufus, then he'd be doing it. not sitting in a cell with his mouth shut.
The trial, day 7. Jacob's summing up.
Sometimes, those who choose to defend the indefensible find themselves falling back on dark arts. They use misdirection to make us look the other way, and sleight of hand to conceal the truth. When that happens, you have to hold on to the simple facts. If Miss Hutton had taken her newborn baby to a hospital, he would still be alive today. But Miss Hutton and Mr. Barton didn't take their premature and struggling child to a hospital. They took themselves back to the party they had attended earlier that evening. And only when they were quite confident that their baby was dead did Georgia Hutton go home and ask her father for help. These are the facts. Hold on to them.
Jacob fixes the jury with an intent look, then nods to the judge and sits down. Cosby stands up, straightens his white necktie, and looks thoughtful for a moment.
Georgia Hutton's parents didn't pay $8,000 a term to have their daughter walk out of school pushing a pram. And as for Rufus Barton, was he really going to write a letter home telling his parents they had a grandchild on the way? P.S. Can I have some money for Tuck? Nobody wanted Georgia Hutton's baby. But that doesn't mean anyone killed it. Now, there is a 2-hour discrepancy between the accounts we've heard. 2 hours. Who lied? The defendants? Mr. Hutton? The doorman at the club, where Mr. Hutton was such a loyal member and generous tipper. Who lied? Or were they just confused? Did Georgia Hutton delay in asking for help, or did her father delay in giving it? And what of Rufus Barton? Where is he in all this? Is he really the innocent he pretends to be? Or is this not murder at all? Is this just a simple family tragedy in which a young girl was so terrified of disappointing her mother that she hid her pregnancy, and when the baby came, it simply stopped breathing? Because it was born too soon. And Georgia Hutton may not have wanted her baby, but that is not to say she wanted it dead. So, who, if anyone, killed baby Hutton? I don't know. Do you? Beyond all reasonable doubt.
Cosby nods to the judge and sits down. Jacob and Kate lean on a stone balustrade in the foyer.
How much do you reckon the Huttons are paying, Cosby?
I don't know, but they're getting their money's worth. So, you won't be looking them up after the case?
Nah. I don't really do posh boys. All those boarding school hang-ups. Yeah. Now, give me a bit of rough any day of the week.
Oh, thank you for oversharing.
Jury's back.
Jacob looks reluctant, but they head back in.
On the charge of murder, how do you find the defendant, Rufus Barton?
Not guilty.
On the charge of murder, how do you find the defendant, Georgia Hutton?
Not guilty.
Georgia and Camille both breathe deep sighs of relief. Cosby smiles over at Camille, while Kate and Jacob look stony-faced. Georgia hugs Rufus, who just stands there and doesn't seem to reciprocate. Joe, Ronnie, Jacob and Kate come out into the foyer.
Now, if that's justice, then what's the flipping point? You know, I mean, if it was a couple of hoodies in the dock...
Just got to be smarter next time.
Hutton, what's he going to get? 2 months for keeping his gob shut.
It's a joke. Oh, Joe.
Bad luck, all. Bad luck. No hard feelings, eh? Listen, I've got a dash. Mrs. Hutton's buying me lunch. I reckon I might be in there.
How do you sleep at night?
Like a baby. Too soon. Listen, if you decide to defect to the dark side, you call me. I can introduce you to some people.
Cosby walks over to Camille, who shakes his hand warmly. Jacob and Kate watch.
Come on.
Ronnie and Joe watch Rufus and Georgia talk.
Well, punishment of a sort, maybe.
Rufus.
Rufus leaves her.
It's not enough, right? It's not nearly enough.
The characters and events in this film are fictitious. Audio description by Deluxe.